This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins me every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. I hope you had a good one too, Coy.
Indeed. I was trying to get in my tomato plants, but I ran out of time, so I'm hopefully I can do that this week or this coming weekend. Bob, let's start, of course, with the latest on the conversation, I guess, that going on between the Attorney General's office and the University of Virginia. Remind us what this is all about.
Well, as you know, Coy, you know, the Attorney General has sent a subpoena to UVA asking for documents relevant to the work of a person named Michael Mann, who was a climate researcher on the faculty at UVA at one time and has since moved to Penn State. And clearly this is related to the Attorney General's lawsuit against EPA, suggesting that EPA has based its climate control regulations on faulty data. And what initially occurred was that the University of Virginia said that this was a legal request by the Attorney General and they were going to comply with the subpoena. But there was an outrage on the part of the university faculty, both at the university and at other universities across the Commonwealth, in which, and some editorial pages, including the Washington Post, urging the University of Virginia not to comply with the subpoena, saying that essentially it's a threat against the basic principle of academic freedom, that the faculty members should be able to conduct their research in wherever their intellect leads them. And so what happened last week is that UVA began to, what I say, recalibrate its position. It's now hired outside counsel to explore the options it has in responding to the Attorney General's subpoena. And my sense is that what is occurring is that the culture of academia in general, both in Virginia and nationally, is suggesting that that it wouldn't be the appropriate thing for the University of Virginia just to turn over this documentation, and that largely it could have an impact on, let us say, recruitment of scientists to Virginia if they believe their work is going to be subjected to subpoenas or if they believe that's the political environment here. So the stakes have really gotten raised, and what we've seen is that the university has recalibrated its position. Just 2 weeks ago, its spokesperson was saying, while we encourage the Faculty Senate to make a statement, we're complying with the subpoena. And now we have the university actually hiring outside counsel to explore, I think, options other than simple compliance with the subpoena.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website, and the phone lines are open. And I'm curious what the listeners have to say. Would you? What's your advice for UVA? Hand over the documents or hire an attorney? 977-1070. Bob, could we very well see a court case here and Virginia Supreme Court? I mean, this has the potential to be even more national news here.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the university would love to have some kind of mediated solution, and maybe they're hoping that the threat of having the outside attorney or the prospect of having the outside attorney may lead the Attorney General's office to see whether they can come up with some solution that enables this thing to go away. But my sense is that right now, what we've seen is a real escalation, and it's been driven largely by the opponents of the Attorney General. That the you've had the Democratic Party of Virginia, you've had a couple of Virginia's U.S. senators, you've had the Washington Post editorial page, you had the National Association of University Professors. There's been a lot of momentum building up on the side of, let's resist this, just like we resisted, his letter on discrimination. So we'll see whether or not the university eventually decides to do this, but my guess is that there's just been far more pressure put on them since their original statement that they were going to comply 2 weeks ago, and has really changed the dynamic of the whole affair.
Yeah, interesting. It really is fascinating, and For those who don't work in a university environment, academic freedom, once upon a time, it didn't exist. And, you know, if professors and researchers were very, you know, cowed is the polite way to say it, but they were incredibly intimidated by politicians from pursuing different types of research. And we would like to believe, in America at least, that we have institutions of higher learning where, in the Jefferson model, you're free to follow truth wherever it may lead.
Well, and, you know, and that's true of almost any university that I've ever been associated with. I think, you know, the overall threats to academic freedom are actually, you know, relatively minimal, as you said, compared to what they might have been at one time in American history. And but what has occurred here, in fact, Coy, is that a number of the opponents of this subpoena, a number of the people complaining about it, have used words saying that it, you know, echoes of McCarthyism, that they are being really adamant in what they're saying about it. You know, now, on the other side, what's pretty fascinating is that conservatives are saying, well, there's just been a total double standard here. Because they said, you know, let's take a look at another climate researcher who was at UVA, and that was the one-time state meteorologist, Pat Michaels. They said, you know, when he took money to conduct his research from corporate sponsors, he was widely denounced. They say that when people who did not like his position because he was a skeptic on some of the policy conclusions about global warming, that when he raised those positions as state meteorologist, they ultimately made it so that he could not identify himself as a state meteorologist when he was doing anything other than what the state was asking him to do. And they said nobody came flying to Pat Michaels' defense. So what's happened, interestingly enough, is that this has now become kind of a national issue in the ongoing culture war.
Interesting. We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. And this story is just not going away anytime soon. This is just only getting bigger. It really is amazing. Now, you also, as long as we're talking about freedom of expression, what is this about strip clubs in Virginia and stripping as political speech?
Well, you know, this has to do with liquor sales, actually. You know, Virginia strip clubs apparently can sell beer and wine, but they're not allowed to sell hard liquor and, you know, mixed drinks, and they've wanted to do so in order to, you know, enhance their profitability. So they took the state law to court. And one of the arguments that the strip club's attorneys made was that this is freedom, you know, it's a violation of their First Amendment rights. And Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson said that, you know, among other things, he said that he couldn't possibly believe that this was the kind of political speech that is actually protected by the First Amendment. And I think the plaintiff's attorney said it's a form of expression that many Virginians value very highly. We'll see what happens, but you know, certainly Judge Wilkinson, if he's going to be speaking for the court, didn't think too highly of the argument.
No, I admit I had no idea that strip clubs in Virginia didn't sell liquor. I never knew that. I've never been in one, but I never knew that.
No, I was, you know, on a kind of, you know, being educated about this in the newspaper myself the other day.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The website is virginiatomorrow.com. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. What is this about Sean Connaughton, the new Secretary of Transportation? And let me preface this by saying that he is a friend and one of the smartest, most capable people who's ever been in politics that I personally know of. Just an amazing guy. And he evidently is impressing the folks in Richmond.
You know, I think so, that Sean Connaughton was appointed by Bob McDonnell as Secretary of Transportation. And, you know, he's brought a lot of energy and intellectual vigor to the job in the first couple of months. You know, we're talking about a potential public-private partnership to widen U.S. 460. The state has already made a request to the federal government to allow it to toll on the I-95 North Carolina border, that they are attempting to work out a lease deal to improve the port situation in Hampton Roads. So a lot of energy and activity, more than a lot of people I think could have imagined given the state fiscal problem right now. At the end of the day, of course, the big issue is going to be whether or not the McDonald administration can come up with enough money to make a real dent in Virginia's transportation problems in Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia. But a lot of people are liking what they're seeing out of Sean Connaughton, particularly the energy and inventiveness and creativity that he's bringing to these issues right now.
Yeah, and there's a future gubernatorial candidate if there ever was one. He's an amazing guy. And, you know, he did a lot of this transportation stuff when he was chairman of the Board of Supervisors in Prince William.
You know, exactly. You know, and he ran once for, statewide office. He ran in the lieutenant governor primary against Bill Bowling and quite frankly got his clock cleaned. But he was running there from the position of Fairfax County chair of the Board of Supervisors. And it was pretty evident that he didn't really have the same handle on state issues that somebody with Bowling's experience had. Give him 4 years as Secretary of Transportation, and he's going to be, well-connected and right in the middle of, one of the major, most intractable issues that Virginia has faced. And if he can help make some progress on that, that could be a springboard, for a future run. And he's a talented guy and as you said, a very smart guy.
Yeah, very smart. Bob, before we let you go, the Virginian pilot broke some news regarding the Virginia National Guard. What's this about?
Well, this was another one of these conflict of interest issues, and it's an interesting one because this is what happened, that the person who is the leader of the Virginia National Guard, which reports to the Secretary of Public Safety, General Bob Newman, turned out that he was also on an advisory board of a corporation in which he was receiving somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 a year for serving on the advisory board. And the pilot made two arguments. First, they said that this company was actually run by a person who had been a one-time subordinate of Newman and that they didn't think this was conflict-free. And secondly, they noted that, that in essence, was this a conflict to have somebody in a leadership position in the state who is also on a corporate payroll? The interesting feature about this is, of course, that we've just been through this. In essence, a couple of months ago when there was consideration of appointing Bob Sled as Secretary of Finance. And a number of people in the Democratic administration at the time, or in the former administration, including the governor, said that they didn't allow people to serve on corporate boards while they held cabinet positions in the Kaine administration. And while the head of the National Guard, not a cabinet position, certainly a high-ranking position, and it raises this question about whether or not there had been a double standard here, whether there was a standard applied to Sled that wasn't applied elsewhere. Newman, for example, and I know Bob Newman is quite a creditable guy, he basically said, or as a spokesperson for the National Guard said, this whole issue was brought up with the senior leaders in the Kaine administration and approved. In this instance, they knew exactly what was going on. So I think there's going to be some more digging, and that more digging is not going to be necessarily looking at, what happened in this particular instance with Bob Newman, but what happened with whether the Kaine administration was absolutely consistent in with what it did with Newman and what it said about Sled.
Interesting. So there's another political story that's not about to go away anytime soon. You can follow all of these stories and learn more at virginiatomorrow.com. Bob Holsworth, one of the Dean of Political Sciences here in Virginia, joins us every Monday afternoon. Thank you, Bob, so much.
Hey, always great to be with you, Coy. You take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.